Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to reach back a few weeks to the last Sunday of Easter to the last lesson from Revelation to finish out that series that we started then. This is actually the last few verses of the Bible from Revelation chapter 22. We read verses 12 through the end, verse 21. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come!" And to him who hears, say, "Come!" Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, dearly redeemed believers, a few years ago in Bible class we studied Revelation. One of the things that surprised me about the comments of some of our members was that they were afraid to read the book, afraid of Revelation. Some of that may just be an honest admission that God's word is true, that the plagues in there are pretty scary. When the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight down on this earth, it ought to make us tremble. In fact, it's supposed to make our old sinful nature stop short and quit doing the evil things we do by nature, to stop and listen and tremble before the Lord so that we can also see that camera shine up into heaven with such encouraging words like the ones here at the end of this last book of the Bible. We ought not be like so many Lutherans in ages gone by who neglected the book and didn't read it. Lutherans in particular have been notorious for not listening or paying attention to Revelation. And the Lord calls us all to repentance because he says, don't take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. Don't neglect it. He calls us to repentance for our neglect. The same as he calls to repentance Christians out there who call themselves millennialists or futurists, who try to keep adding on top of God's word all their own ideas and opinions. The Lord says, no. It's exactly the way God wants it to be. This is the word of the Lord. Blessings from the triune God. We humbly bow the knee to receive these blessings. We need them today. We need them always. Right up to the very last verse of the Bible. Blessings from the triune God. One of these bothers anybody that's a God-fearing Christian. You can see it in people's faces. I can remember a pretty heated discussion at seminary about this one word. It bugs us. I'm talking about a word that shouldn't scare you or bother you. It's the word reward. Reward? Oh yeah. We've been taught ever since we were little children that we deserve nothing but wrath and punishment from God. And this description of who's outside the heavenly Jerusalem backs that up. And this list is meant to include all of us at one time or another in some way or another. It says on the outside are the dogs. That's the way God's people, the Jews, referred to all the non-Jews, the Gentiles. That would be us. By nature, not the people of God. Outside are the dogs, he says. And with the dogs are those who practice magic arts. And you say, wait a minute. I don't practice magic arts. But I have to ask you, have we become so jaded and desensitized by Walt Disney and Harry Potter that we no longer look upon those who want to use magic powers to control God's creation the same way God does? Because in our society, this has become just as innocent and as repeats of old shows like Bewitched. What's the harm? Yet, though we're not bound by Old Testament law, the Salem witch trials should not have happened. And God, that's not God's command. And yet we ought to be able to see from the fact that the sorcerers, those who use magic arts, are outside the city. Doesn't that pull us up short and make us tremble a little bit when we don't have that fear of God in our hearts? Because outside with those who practice magic arts are the sexually immoral. And that's not just homosexuals. That's heterosexuals. Actually, it's everybody who commits the act outside of marriage. Not just in physical fact, but in the mind. And emotionally with actors on TV. Outside are the sexually immoral and the murderers. Which, according to God's holy word, is everybody that's ever had hatred in his heart for anybody. Such as holding grudges or being unforgiving. The Lord says, if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh, the word of the Lord. It puts us all outside by nature, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters. All those who fear, love, and trust in someone or something more than God? Like your spouse, your job, your friends, your toys, your hobbies, your sports, your money, or the lack of it? What do you fear? Who do you trust? Who or what do you love most of all? We all, the Lord says, all men are liars. Because there is a fake hypocrisy in every last one of us, we want to think we're relatively good people. At least not as bad as somebody we can find. The Lord says we're all outside. By nature, all outside there, with the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And who wouldn't tremble? Who would not be afraid? To hear these descriptions and realize, whoa, that's where I deserve to be. That's scary. But don't run away too soon. Listen to what Jesus says. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Jesus is the first, the very beginning, the Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega, the A to Z, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there before time began from all eternity when God saw the fall and realized you and I could not help ourselves. And Jesus stepped forward to volunteer, to shed the only innocent blood that could wash away our sins. All our idolatry, our murderous thoughts, our sexual lust, our gross immorality in our minds and hearts, all of it washed away by the blood of God's own Son. And blessed are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed because the gates of heaven stand wide open. Not like the gate of paradise guarded by the cherubim when Adam and Eve fell. No, the angel guards the gate no more. To God our thanks we pay. To God our thanks we pay. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and here the Lord Jesus bringing rewards. Not that we deserve them. Not at all. But they are rewards. Rewards of grace. Rewards that God gives us out of His mercy and His love. Kind of like if you give money to one of your kids to buy a ticket for a movie or to go to, you know, that great championship sports game or something like that. It's not their money. You gave it to them, but they pay the money and they get the ticket. Jesus paid the price with His holy life and His innocent death in our place. And the Lord God says, this is for you, every sinner, even the Muslims who persecute Christians today in the name of their Allah. He died for all, even the Jews, His own people, who rejected Him then and now. He died even for us dogs, us Gentiles, to wash away all the doggy do from our lives that takes whatever form it may be. But this holy blood is so powerful and so strong that the stench is gone. The filth. He needs no Febreze. He just needs the gentle whisper of the word that says, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And God has this grace, these gracious rewards from Jesus that He wants to pour out on us generously, all received by faith in Him. The gates stand open wide to all who trust in Jesus as their Savior. He says, I'm coming soon. The gates are open. Come inside. Don't be afraid. In fact, doesn't that remind you of the night that Jesus was born? When that angel called out to those shepherds outside of Bethlehem, fear not. You know why we know those words, those glad tidings of great joy that shall be for all people? You know why we know them? Because of the triune God, Father and Son, sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, again and again. Luke could record those glad tidings in Luke chapter 2. And John the Apostle could record these words of our Lord Jesus that are meant for us today. The Holy Spirit giving us this blessing of soul-quenching water. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you, plural. You, the people of the Church of God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you, all of you, the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I want you to just try to put yourself in the place of John when he first heard these words. Remember, this is the disciple Jesus loved. He doesn't even call himself by name in his own gospel. But he is the disciple Jesus loved, the one right next to him at the Last Supper. Where is he when he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ? He's far from home, in exile on that prison island of Patmos. Miles of water separate him from his loved ones back in Ephesus. He's lonely. And the questions have got to be there if he's like any of the rest of us, at least at his weak times. Where's the Lord when I need him? And then comes this Sunday vision. We call the revelation the vision of seven visions. And he hears his dear Lord Jesus speaking to him. As you and I hear our dear Lord speaking to us to this day, especially in those dark times, those hard times of sadness. He says, I am Jesus. I sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. And how John must have just thrilled to hear him say, I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. When the morning star comes up, it's a promise for another day, that the night is gone, that the sun will rise, that the day is dawning. When Jesus comes as the bright and morning star, there will be no more night. And when John heard those words, he knew what the Lord was saying. How his heart must have just thrilled to hear the voice of Jesus say, I am the root and offspring of David, promised as the Christ of old, the Messiah to come. All those years finally there and coming again in glory to end this dark little day of earth's suffering so there be no more night. And no more sorrow or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You know how he felt. And you know what you do with it. When you read a comforting word in your Bible and you mark it there. And then later that day, someone asks you a question about that same passage. Who did that? How did that happen? That you hear a particularly comforting sermon or Bible class or some fellow Christian says something and right then or a few weeks later, here it is again. And somebody is asking you about that very word. It's not just the Spirit who says this. It's the Spirit and the bride of Christ, all believers in Jesus, the invisible church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. You hear this word of God inviting you to come. And then you hear a fellow sinner who's hurting. And you say, come. If you don't know any other way to share your faith, could you remember the one word? Come. Isn't that what the disciple Philip said to Nathanael when Nathanael asked him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, the question, how do you answer that question? So people ask you questions, how do you answer those questions? Answer the way Philip did. Come and see. Come and see. Let the Lord answer the question. That's why we put that on that DVD of sermons that's out there on the table, the CD that's meant to be given away. Come and see. I can't answer all your questions, but God sure has answers and faith and help from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life, the Holy Spirit giving us this soul-quenching water to quench our thirsty need. You just so seldom hear that kind of emotion in our modern media, except maybe if you're watching a father who lost a son overseas in war, fighting for our freedom. Listen to the anguish in that father's voice. To know that there are hardcore ingratitude, where people are speaking out, exercising their freedom of speech, which is what his son died for. And yet people don't make that connection. Say what you want, but you got to see the anguish of the father in that sacrifice that seems so unappreciated by others, and then think about the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. When the Father gave his Son into death for us all. When Jesus died and shed the blood that literally washed away the sins of all people of all time, whether they believe it or not. And the ultimate testimony of God's grace and mercy that when he raised Jesus from the dead, he said, it's all done, it's all forgiven. This unreligion of the Bible that doesn't say do and do, it says done. That's the Father. You hear the intensity of his emotion, this deep desire to have people just believe it. When in the last verses, we have this warning of love from the Father. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Specifically the book of Revelation, but put here by God at the end of the whole Bible, and repeating what is said at the very beginning in the last sermons of Moses and Deuteronomy. Do not add to the Lord's word, and do not take away from it. And repeated in the middle of the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, where it says, if you add anything to the word of the Lord, he will rebuke you and put you to shame. This holy word of God, as he has preserved it for us in the Bible, is the way God wants it to be. God the Father. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. And he's intense about that because he wants so deeply to take away our fear caused by sin and that barrier between us and him so that he can have us home. He wants us all to feel the thirst. And that thirst starts when people realize that God means it when he says sinners are on the outside. When he speaks about that fiery lake of burning sulfur, he doesn't want that soft pedal. He wants us to understand that hell is not an invention of theologians and scholars and some kind of evolutionistic religion that developed over so many years. It's what the Lord has said from the very beginning. Read the prophets in the Old Testament too. It's all there. That ought to make us thirsty. So that the Lord can also then give us this invitation that says, come and drink. Everyone who is thirsty is welcome to come. Everyone who wants it can take it as a free gift of God's grace without any other condition. Come, receive, take, and believe. It is God's plan. It is his mercy. And it all comes down to this one word that really explains the whole Bible. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. That word grace, the undeserved love of God, is what we need to think about when we realize how little we deserve this. When we're fearful of death and dying and what's on the other side. It's grace. It's undeserved love of God that he planned. It was his idea. It was his love that brought it to us and brought us to him. It's all grace. From first to last, saved by grace, given this undeserved love of God in Christ, so that finally, when we can leave all this heartache and shame behind us and go through those gates into that glorious city, the New Jerusalem, we will at last realize that this little time on earth, this time of grace, was just a drop of water in the sea of eternity. Amazing grace. When we've been there 1,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.